Vets and their pets.
It's a pet's life with Jim Dog, Ireland's first pet resort by Des the Vet. Managed by vets, loved by pets. Daycare, vet care, premium pet food and grooming. Visit a petslife.ie.
Hey!
Hi, John.
Come in closer to the microphone there, man.
John, great to be here this morning.
Yep, great to have you back. And it's such a... Jen, you're one of the original of the species when we started out this in our merry way all those years ago back, and it's come full circle.
That's true. Yeah. 20 years ago, I was on KFM talking about animal welfare and pet care, and thankfully the business has evolved and moved on a lot since then.
Yeah.
I was advocating at the time for, you know, better pet care and better awareness of how to mind a dog and how to look after a pet and the amount of exercise that they need and what an animal's natural needs were and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And now, Janie Mack, the modern pet owners they're very switched on, they're very aware of animal welfare, and they're much more receptive to doing the right thing with their pets. And so the pet industry in Ireland is thankfully really, really, really moved on, and vets are here to help people with that.
I love that, because I mean, you even see people going out for runs now. They're bringing their dogs on the runs and they're jogging around the place and they're doing stuff. And
they are.
But it's all about, I think, the way things progress. It's not just a case, there's a dog and he's able to wander around the streets. You don't even see that anymore, predominantly. Sure, you don't.
You don't see animals out and about anymore. And it's just as well. You know, when I started out in veterinary practice, road traffic accidents with dogs being hit on the road were very common.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I have to say, in my practice, a road traffic accident involving a dog being hit by a car is much rarer than it used to be, because dogs aren't out and about. They're at home in their gardens, or if they're not in their gardens, they're at daycare or they're out for walks. So people do care for their pets so much better than they used to in Ireland.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your talking off air and using the word evolving, and how, because from your perspective, the business has evolved, but evolved in a positive way. Tell us a little bit about Jim Dog.
Jim Dog is a side service alongside our vet hospital that we set up in response to that boom, that increase in the dog population in the Kildare area and the surrounding area over the last number of years. And what it is a dog behaviour, dog training and dog daycare service, focused on us being there during the day to care for people's pets while they're out at work.
Simple enough,
really. We always did it. There was always an element of it there, but it's particularly taken off in recent years. Started during COVID, the popularity
of it. That was my next question. You beat me to it, yeah. Yeah.
The reason why people were at home with their pets and trying to work from home.
Yeah.
And then they became aware, perhaps, of how bored the dog could be during the day at home while they're at work.
Mm.
And in response to the dog being bored, The opportunity to get the dog into daycare became popular.
And that's what it is, isn't it? And it makes sense, because you think the way people live their lives compared to years ago.
Yeah.
99% of most modern couples coming through, whether they have small children or families or dogs or whatever the case may be, they're all kind of double family income. So in other words, they have to, you think of it, both parents are probably out working 9 to 5 as a minimum these days. And of course you have pets as well, a part of the household.
Yeah, you do. So the first thing about the Jim Dog idea is, it's to get the idea into people's heads that dogs need way more exercise, way more socialization and stimulation than we really realize.
Yeah.
And the reason for this is because most of our pet dogs actually derive from or descend from working breeds.
Yeah.
So working breeds are very active. Traditionally on the farms years ago, dogs were out and about and on the move all day.
Mm.
So it's really surprising just how much exercise, socialization and stimulation a pet dog actually needs, because they have a working breed instinct trapped inside a pet dog's body.
Yeah.
So Jim Dog gives them the opportunity to be themselves, mix amongst other dogs, get the exercise they need, blow off all the steam and play, while at the same time they're learning a little, because they're meeting our team, the Jim Dog team.
Yeah.
They're meeting different age groups of staff all day, and the knock-on effect is that they become better pets, because they're better behaved when they get home. They're better behaved when they go for walks, because they've had a far greater opportunity to meet lots of other dogs and lots of other people.
Yeah.
So that's part of the Jim Dog concept.
And I suppose running parallel to that as well, Des, is healthy lifestyle and healthy diet.
Diet. Now, again, you see, in over 30 years in practice, I came to the conclusion a number of years ago that I won't say a majority, but a very, very high percentage of my everyday caseload coming into me, sick pets, sick dogs arriving into me in the surgery, an awful lot of those problems could be prevented with correct nutrition.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, modern pet foods, the supermarket value brands, they are full of additives, they're full of sugars, full of salt, and eventually over time, dogs that are fed the budget supermarket brands for too long, they will develop problems, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, various illnesses to do with skin allergies is another one, tummy upsets, all of these common conditions. That's half a caseload in a surgery every day, a caseload that's caused by inadequate nutrition.
And does that work for, is that the same thing applied to cats?
It actually does. Now with cats, again, what you find with cats is that it's much harder to put cats on a diet. So the goodness has to be in the food.
Yeah. Well, that's because cats rove around the place. So, I mean, they'll just take food wherever there's going.
They do. Yeah. They do. In response to that problem, purely on a disease prevention level, I became very interested in nutrition.
Yeah.
And alongside the gym dog idea a number of years ago, I developed a gym dog and a gym cat food.
Brilliant.
And the idea of the food is simply, as the name says, a gym dog and a gym cat. It's a healthy food.
Yeah.
For dogs and cats that want to be and need to be fit and healthy.
Yeah. It's a bit like, look, an adult going to the gym and they've got the food stuffs on the sides that are healthy, whether it's drinking whatever, the healthy stuff or not, or whatever the case may be. But it's the same type of idea, isn't it? It runs parallel to the gym dog.
It is. So we sell this food now online on petslife.ie. And the idea of the food is there are no artificial preservatives in it. There's no sugars. There's no salts.
Brilliant.
The majority of the carbohydrates are not grain. In other words, the carbohydrates in the food are potato, brown rice, white rice, sweet potatoes.
Very good, yeah.
Okay, that's what's in the food. That's the energy source. So very little grain. And we find we have a completely grain-free version, and then we have a version with very little grain.
Yeah.
And we find that reducing the amount of cereal or grain in the food also reduces tummy upsets, eczema, skin allergies, the whole works.
Yeah, okay. Do you know what? That's a topic in a conversation that we will...
For another day, in more detail.
About just diet, health, how to feed your animals regardless.
Definitely.
And leading nicely on to our kind of one of our topics we want to talk about today over the next while is puppy, you know, starting out on your first involvement with your first animal or maybe getting a new one after somebody has passed on or moved on or whatever the case may be, but getting a puppy.
Yes.
And I think this is the one that we see coming in towards Christmas time in the next month or two. It's going to be the dread puppy dog present and all that type of stuff. But I want to go back to getting a puppy, basically. Tell us a little about that.
Right. Again, new puppies coming in the door into the surgery in our vet surgery and as well as everywhere else. It's amazing the popularity of dog ownership now.
Yeah.
And people are getting new puppies all year round and new puppies arriving into us every day. So years ago, people would have a family friend or have a neighbour who was breeding a dog and they'd go and choose a puppy. Now they're making these decisions by shopping online.
Yeah.
So the commonest place that people... The real nasty problems arose Dundeal had a very big dog section, right? Again, not to be speaking out of turn about Dundeal, they cleaned that up.
Yeah.
In response to issues.
Obviously,
that were raised.
Yeah, which we know about that, yeah.
Dog, there are other sites out there where you can literally buy a dog like a commodity, the same as buying a bicycle.
Mm.
Problem is, you don't know where it's come from.
Yeah.
So warning signals to start with, right? People who are shopping online, okay? If you go to look at a puppy, please don't buy the first one you see.
Yeah.
Please don't let them tug on your heartstrings and take the first puppy home, because that only perpetuates the problem of overbreeding and bad breeding. So do be discerning. And the things to look for is, you've picked three or four online, you've picked them out, you've seen the pictures, then do go and look at them and ask to see the mother and father of the puppies.
I've heard this one before.
Yes.
I saw it on television quite recently on one of the BBC shows, I think it was The One Shot.
Very common.
And they were saying the most important thing is you must have a look at where the original, the mum and the dad,
yes,
because you know where they're originating from.
You do need to see the mum and the puppies running around the backyard.
Yeah.
It's vital.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the chances are those puppies have been farmed in crates.
Yeah.
Now, that means those puppies didn't get enough exercise early on in their lives, didn't get enough socialisation, and you'll have an uphill battle to cope with anxiety, nervousness, maybe tummy upsets, maybe lack of socialisation.
Yeah.
From 2 to 3 months of age onwards. Unless that puppy gets a natural upbringing.
Yeah.
And that means he needs to be out socialising with his siblings, running around with his mum, learning from his mum. So do look for a small backyard scenario, a lady just breeding a couple of dogs as a hobby for fun.
Yeah.
And be wary of the fact where the guy tells you, you'll never find my place, I'll meet you in the car park
You beat me to the net, that question as well. You're answering all the questions for me. That was the next one was, you've often seen that one. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I live about 5 miles from you, even whether they're 150 miles yes. from you or not, and I'll meet you in the Tesco car park and we can do the deal there.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Just say no, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
You want to see the natural environment that the puppy comes from. Really
and,
important.
And these would be predominantly people selling them as purebred dogs, but you don't know where they're coming from. That's the negative part.
Yeah.
Where the positive part is they could have papers and they could whatever else.
Now, at the high end, the very expensive breeds that are pedigree registered with the Kennel Club, the chances are, in most cases, they're coming from good homes.
Yeah.
People who have these expensive retrievers, St. Bernards, Bernese Mountain Dogs, those very high-end breeds where people are paying, you know, 1,000+ euros possibly for the puppy. In those scenarios, you should be able to see the parents, you should be able to meet the breeders. You're probably going to get to know the name of the couple who bred the dog, and the chances are these are people who are into dog breeding as a lifestyle choice and are committed to the breed.
Yeah.
But you need to get that feeling from a person that they are committed to the breed and that it's a lifestyle choice. It is not just a business.
Is there a breed of dog that sets out signals, that the wrong signals, that flags go up and you say, oh, look, it's the Rottweiler, oh, it's the Bulldog, or whatever the case may be?
Okay, so the couple of so-called designer breeds, the bully breeds.
Yeah.
For Frenchies, Mastiff types, so-called XL bullies, brachycephalics, even pugs and pug crosses, those sort of ones, the so-called cute designer breeds, they send out distress signals for me, because unfortunately, knowing as we do the breathing problems and the behavioural problems that a lot of these designer breeds have, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays, an awful lot of really reputable, good, conscientious dog people are not breeding these dogs, right? They're not breeding that type. So people selling that type, or if you're shopping around for that type of it, you need to be really careful and make sure it's been vet checked first, that the paperwork looks good, that the paperwork has been signed by a vet, and so on.
Yeah.
I really would be against the breeding of, the multiplication of, the proliferation of these what we call brachycephalic.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of big words used there. Brachycephalic means the ones with the squashed faces.
Yeah.
Pugs.
Yeah.
French bulldogs. Staffies, Mastiff crosses,
yeah,
and so on. A lot of the ones that you see on these Instagram pages, difficulty with them is they've a lot of breathing problems, and they can have heart problems, lung problems, throat problems.
Yeah, okay, that's something that we will definitely kind of look at further down the road. I think we'll revisit the puppy thing just before Christmas period, because I think that's a time where a lot of people say, the old saying goes, puppies for life, not for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I presume that's still prevalent.
Oh, that's still prevalent.
Yeah.
People still do buy dogs for Christmas, and it's often, unfortunately, an impulse purchase.
Yeah.
And it'll be a designer breed of some sort, and in a lot of cases, there's problems by January or February. So in terms of buying a dog, think about it carefully, make sure it's not an impulse, chat to your vet. Again, the online thing, there are good ways to shop online. There's a new website now being managed by a vet, by Tim Kirby, who is a practicing vet.
Yeah.
It's called Pet Bond.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about this.
Now, Pet Bond is you sign up as a prospective dog owner.
Yeah.
You want to be a dog owner, and you fill in your requirements, what type of a dog you like.
Yeah.
And then they advise you about prospective reputable breeders, good breeders of those dogs. So Pet Bond is like an agency or a link between you and the good breeders.
But it's also kind of the likes of vets and veterinary practices would be hooked up to this.
Yeah, vets are hooked up to it. They have a register of vet surgeries and vet practices around the country, and they'll make sure that you're put in touch with breeders that have good paperwork for their puppies, good management systems and all the rest of it.
Okay, Maria was on. Maria wanted to know, regarding looking for a puppy, what do you recommend regarding dog shelters and pounds?
Yeah, very good. Again, a big shout out in Kildare here. We have good local shelters. KWW SPCA.
Yeah.
Used to be years ago, the dog warden there told me a few years ago, they have a policy now of not putting to sleep any dog. They make a massive effort to rehome the strays that they take in. So there's almost no euthanasia.
That's the best thing ever.
In pounds these days. Almost no euthanasia, which is great. Unless there's a massive health problem or a severe behavioural problem, any dog that's, rehabilitatable.
Yeah, who funds it?
They will. Charity. It's a charity. They get a certain amount for the government. They rely on the public for you know, fundraising and help.
That's great. I really do.
There's another good one locally called CARA, C-A-R-A.
Yeah, I've heard of that one, yeah.
They're in Laois. And then you have the Dogs Trust up in Dublin. These pounds now, I believe, are invariably full. And
that's the problem. If it's full, it means people are saying, I want my designer dog.
Yeah.
I don't want the cross between the Labrador and the whatever. Is that still an issue, or do we see more of that around?
Yeah, no, to be fair, it's an issue. You have to say, right, they're not going to have puppies. A puppy is a clean slate, gives you a chance to put good management, good training, good routine in place and make a great bond with the puppy and ensure the puppy grows up as part of your family.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the ideal. Now, lovely for you to take on a shelter dog, but a shelter dog will be a little bit older, may already have some bad habits, so you need to have some flexibility in your own lifestyle and the ability to work with the dog to help it fit in, because it might not fit in straight away. Toilet training could be a problem, feeding routines, making strange with certain people or certain other animals. There's often a bit of baggage with the shelter.
And traditionally, Des, what's the age profile of those dogs in those shelters?
It's very mixed. It'll be anything from when is a problem puppy surrendered, maybe 6 months onwards.
Yeah.
Right up until very elderly.
Right, okay. And the elderly ones are probably just going to live out their lives in the pound, really, are they?
To rehome an elderly dog is a lovely thing to do. Because an elderly dog would be happy to have a quiet life.
Yeah.
So an elderly dog from a pound might suit an older person.
And that was it, because you often see where there's an older person might just say, look, I'm a bit lonely now, whatever the lifestyle that they're in, and it's that time of life where they say they'd love a nice small dog.
Yeah.
They're probably better off getting something from a pound, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. If you're maybe a less active person or an older person yourself, you don't want the work and the difficulty of breaking in and settling in a puppy. An older dog, a little 10 or 11 year old Jack Russell, that perhaps another older person had to surrender.
Okay. Where's this question in there? And it's from Nicola. Nicola says her dog got a cut between her toes about 6 months ago back. The dog has subsequently got antibiotics. It healed up, but noticing lately the dog is still partially limping. Do I need to bring it back to the vet, or could it be something else?
Yeah, it's probably something else. I'd say the cut between the webs of the toes, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a coincidence or a byproduct or coagulate. It's highly unlikely that dog is still sore from a soft tissue cut like that. There's something else wrong. Now, maybe at the time, whenever the cut occurred, there might have been a little crack in one of the toe joints.
Yeah.
And that's still giving a little bit of trouble. So something else going on. If your dog is limping, it definitely should be looked at. Mightn't be the paw at all. Could be completely coincidental.
Yeah.
But
especially the fact that it's a few months ago back. It's not a couple of weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
See, the difficulty, if the dog is limping, it means that she's in pain somewhere. He or she is in pain somewhere.
Yeah.
Along that leg, and it's going to interfere with the dog's quality of life, and is going to progress, maybe develop into arthritis. So do get it looked at.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, well done, and good to see everything going brilliantly for you. You're going to be with us every Tuesday going forward. Yeah. So we are most definitely looking forward to it, and we'll have different topics each week, and we'll have general questions coming in from the gang out there. The listeners, there'll be no doubt, will be sending once they realise you're back on the airwaves again.
Lovely.
Anyway,
thanks, John. Great to be here.
And it's great, and good to see the evolving vet practice
changing,
as well,
changing
and moving forward. forward as we do as well. Anyway, that was week one, done and dusted. And most definitely we'll be back again with Des next Tuesday, usual time around 20 past 11. And have a good one, sir.
Vets and their pets.
It's a pet's life with Jim Doug, Ireland's first pet resort by Des the Vet. Managed by vets, loved by pets. Daycare, vet care, premium pet food and grooming. Visit a petslife.ie.